It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're really glad that you've joined us.
Happy weekend.
Happy. Boy, you live a boring life.
Yeah, let's just have another happy weekend.
Just a happy weekend. There's a lot that's been happening in the world. There always is when we get together.
Right. It's unbelievable. All you have to do these days is listen to or watch the news. And it's filled with conflicts, protests, Olympic athletes doping, celebrities fighting. And of course, during this part of the year, politics are all about personal conflicts rather than issues.
We have a lot of conflict going on around us on a daily basis. And this is like world conflict and politics. Mm. And then you've got the personal conflicts that we also all deal with.
And the world is so wired now with social media. All it takes is one little scuffle to break out, and the next thing you know, you can read about it right here on your phone.
I know there was a celebrity fight that my daughter was telling me about, and when she told me about it, I said, oh, I don't know anything about that. She goes, what? It blew up Twitter.
Right.
And everybody knows about this, Mom. And So you're right, that when there are conflicts and problems, it's all plastered on the news and on social media. And here's the problem with that for me, Chris, is that the way people deal with those conflicts is not exactly in line with scripture a lot of the time.
Well, that's another thing you can see on social media is how people deal with it.
Yeah.
It's usually not very
good.
It's
not. There's a lot of retaliation.
Right.
There's a lot of go after that person, all the bullying that happens when people don't like something or don't get their way or they experience difference with other people. I see a lot of upsetting things. You look at a lot of these protest movements and it's all about dividing and a lot of anger and hostility in those conflicts. I don't think we're seeing very good models of how to resolve things.
Well, if I can go back to the social media thing, it allows everyone to voice their opinion. So then it starts there too. There may be this side and this side. Well, both sides get together on Facebook, and the next thing you know, it's really bad.
There was a website that I found. You would be interested in this website.
Mm-hmm.
The name of it is I Hate Conflict.
It's a bunch of passive aggressive.
What it is you can go on this website and you can post your comments about conflict. We pulled out a few of these. I thought it would be interesting to read what people say on this site. And as we listen to these, they probably ring true for a lot of people. Here's one of them. I'd rather just be liked. I think everything would be fine. I'd rather agree than fight.
Right.
Like there's few things I would rather fight about. I think a lot of people feel that way.
It seems like they're a ticking time bomb, though. Because you can only do that so much and then it falls apart.
You're exactly right. And here's what somebody wrote, which is right to that point. I avoid conflict as much as possible. I like making peace.
Hmm.
But I don't know how you can make peace if you're avoiding the conflict. That's a little
true.
Bit of a contradiction.
Right.
Here's another one. I have always hated conflict. When I was young, it used to make me feel physically ill. Got to wonder what that person grew up with.
Right.
Even now when I think that there may be issues with someone, my stomach gets all tied up in knots. I have learned not to run from conflict, but it's really hard for me to stand up and stay in that conflict.
I know how that feels. When you see it coming, when you know it's coming, anxiety.
It's hard to have a problem with somebody and then say, I'm going to go to that person. But as we're going to see as we get with the show, that's exactly what the Bible is telling us to do. Here's one. I've always been shy of conflict. Unfortunately, that means a lot of time I get walked over. That's a bad side of that. I've been trying to find the confidence to stand up for myself, even if it means it will result in conflict.
Right. And it usually does.
It does.
There will be a crisis point at some point.
It is kind of easier to just be quiet and let somebody take advantage of you, but then it comes back to you. That's one of the issues.
I like this next one on the list. It says, I hate drama. Why can't they just take their drama away from me?
Yeah. I think that's a wishful thought that a lot of us have.
Right. My wife Sharon's like that. When the drama starts, okay, that's enough. She's out.
She's out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't want to deal with it. And then here's another one. We'll just do one more. And it says, in my family, I'm the mediator. I'm expected to step in, calm the conflict. it's wearing thin on me. And the fact that everyone's favorite pastime these days is arguing and physically fighting.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me sick to my stomach. I just wish the world a day or even a moment of absolute peace and happiness. That's intense.
That has been promised, but it involves the return of Jesus.
Yeah, it does. It does. We're not going to have peace. We're not going to have happiness all the time. But to be at such a point where we get physically ill because of conflict, we need to look at that.
If you can identify with any of these, stay tuned because help is on the way as we work our way through the rest of the program. And one thing that's interesting, Dr. Linda, is the church is not immune from conflict. And you know about this.
I wish we could say that the church is a conflict-free zone.
It's not.
But it's not. It's so interesting to me that Jesus thought it was a good idea to have the church and to put a bunch of people together who are very different, have very different ideas. But hopefully we're all using the Bible as our guide for life. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But even when we have that in common, there are a lot of times in the church where people have conflict with each other. Everything from, I don't like the music.
Oh, yeah.
To the pastor's hairstyle is bugging me, to it can be anything, the carpet in the church, anything.
The best one I've seen lately is the band can't get along with the sound guy.
Oh.
To the point where the sound guy and his family left the church.
Really?
Because it was so bad, yeah. Not at our church, but I do know of a church where that's happened. It seems like that type of thing would happen anywhere else, but not in the church.
I think part of the issue is the church has to be the place where we practice good conflict skills.
Mm-hmm.
In conflict resolution. And if we could get that right inside the church, just imagine what that would do in terms of people looking at the church and saying, wow, those people really know how to work with each other. They know how to work through their differences. They know how to be civil. They know how to be kind. They know how to deal with each other in a loving way. That could be a huge witness. Conflict, if it's not handled right, can really damage relationships.
And it's a terrible testimony.
It is a terrible.
When fights and pettiness break out in a church and then the general public hears about it, they say, well, why would I want a fellowship with these people? They can't even get their lives together.
We're saying this, and we're not saying that we've never been a part of that. We want you to know that we're speaking to ourselves as well when we're talking about this.
I can split a church faster than anyone.
Yeah. Not a skill we want to be proud of. This is an issue we really have to work on.
Right.
If we're going to do life together, which is what this show is all about,
mm-hmm.
It's important for us to look at biblical guidelines for dealing with conflict, because Jesus's prayer for the church is that we would be one. And we would operate in unity. Now, operating in unity doesn't mean we never have differences. It means we work through those differences. It's not whether or not we have conflict, rather how we deal with that conflict, and are we willing to reconcile with one another?
Well, since you wrote a book on this topic, it's called We Need to Talk. Why is it so difficult to work things out?
There are lots of reasons when we think about it, Chris. We're all different. We see things from a different perspective. We don't like the music. We mm-hmm. have preferences. Preferences are different. I have a chapter in the book that talks about understanding the differences between your preferences and your opinions versus some really critical things that you need to be looking at. And those things are usually related to differences in values and beliefs. You can think about politics, religion.
Mm. Right.
We need to learn how to handle those differences. And then sometimes conflicts arise because of our expectations. We expect that the pastor is going to talk to us every Sunday or that this person will behave a certain way and they don't. There's offense that takes place in the church. There's a lack of forgiveness. And these are things that are critical for church members to get right. And then if you didn't have good role models growing up and you didn't have a good conflict model, you can be very uncertain about how to handle conflict and what that's supposed to look like. So
mm-hmm.
that's why we want to give you a biblical model. And that's going to be our goal today, is go through a biblical model and help you deal with conflict. And we're hoping that you take this into all of your relationships, and then you also take it back to the church.
What would you say about avoiding conflict? It is easier, but it's not a healthy way to deal with things.
It's not, because it hurts us physically, and there's a mm-hmm. whole bunch of research that shows that if you avoid conflict, it comes back with a vengeance on your physical body the next day. Handling reactive people is tough, and we have to somehow get a balance with that, because reactive words and actions will only escalate conflict. So we have to get a handle on these things. One goal that we're going to talk about today is how do we de-escalate conflict
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't go into a bad place. I like what Rick Warren said, and we'll mention this and then we'll go to a break. He says that you can't be right with God and wrong with people.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it is.
The two go together. Our relationship with God should influence how we treat people. And when we approach conflict from a biblical perspective, we can get right with people, mm-hmm. and we can preserve our relationships, and that's really important.
That's right. Well, you heard it right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and when we come back, a biblical model for how you can deal with conflict. To check out Dr. Linda's books on weight control, Lose It for Life, Press Pause Before You Eat, Breaking Free from Compulsive Overeating, and Raising Healthy Kids, go to drlindamental.com.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we are helping you deal with conflict based on a biblical model. And we're taking our talking points from your book, Dr. Linda, We Need to Talk, How to Successfully Navigate Conflict. Does the Bible give specifics on dealing with conflict directly?
It does, and it mm-hmm. gives specifics on how the church should deal with conflict, and that's found in Matthew 18, specifically verses 15 through 17. It says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults, just between the two of you." So right mm-hmm. there it's saying, don't tell your friend over here, right. don't gossip about it. It says, go to the person. If they listen to you, you've won them over.
Right.
But if they won't listen to you, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. First, you try face to face with each other. If that doesn't work, you bring in somebody else, like a mediator, mm-hmm. a pastor, a deacon, somebody who's in the counseling area of your church right. ministry. And then it says, this is pretty tough. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. That's saying yeah. you need to listen and you need to work these things out.
I think the problem is people jump to verse 17 at the very beginning of the conflict and they tell it to the church and then treat the person like a pagan or a tax collector.
Yeah.
And they didn't go through the process of starting one-on-one with that person.
And that's what's really important. We're called to handle our disputes in love with a goal of restoration. That's really what the church is called to. Conflict needs to be handled according to those steps. We are going to go through how to do that in just a moment. The style that we're talking about, it's based on our wanting to live in a holy way. Mm. We want to pursue holiness. We want to imitate Christ in all we do. We want to be obedient to the things that God is telling us. And we want to have love for people even when they don't do things right. Because
right.
guess what? I'm probably going to not do something right and need that same love and that same grace shown to mm-hmm. me. So that's really important.
Now, this one hits home. I have seen both sides of this and heard both arguments. So I really am excited to see what you say. Let's say a problem arises. Should you wait until the person comes to you and says something, or do you go to them?
Well, I'm going to go back to verse 18 where it says in Matthew, if your brother or sister does something, go.
Right.
Go. It doesn't say wait. I've got a line in my book, I Love My Mother But, where it's talking about mother-daughter conflict. The line in that book is, only children fight about who goes first. Because I hear a lot of mothers saying, well, my daughter hurt my feelings, she needs to call me.
Yeah.
Or the daughter saying, well, my mom is the one who's controlling, and I'm not going to talk to her until she tells me she's sorry. And that is not the biblical model. The biblical model is, if there's tension, if there's conflict, if there's something that's happened that has broken that relationship, we are to go to each other.
All right, Dr. Linda, well, you have angered me beyond belief. So I have mustered up the decency to come and talk to you about this. Where do I start?
I think always the best place to start is with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I say that is because it's hard to stay angry and upset with someone when you force yourself to pray with them.
Right.
Have you ever tried that in your marriage?
Oh, it's impossible.
You know, it's like, okay, we're going to pray.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, I can't be mad anymore because mm-hmm. I'm in prayer and God is part of this process. Inviting God in, it really does calm us down. It invites the Holy Spirit to work in that situation. When we're weak, because of Christ in us, he's strong. It's a good way to start, especially if the situation is really difficult. There was a fight that Norm and I had in our early marriage, and I got so worked up by this, and I just was not going to calm down. And so one of the things he did is he told me he wouldn't proceed. He just would not continue unless we sat down and we prayed. And it changed the atmosphere in the room dramatically when we did that.
What happens if you say, let's pray, but the other person interprets that as a high and mighty type thing?
It's always good if you say we
right.
in that relationship. If we go, we both need to maybe calm down and invite the Lord into this, that we're a couple or we're friends or we're coworkers or whatever it is. Could we invite God into this right now and frame it a little bit differently?
Okay, so we've prayed. We're calm.
We're calm.
Now what?
We have to begin taking responsibility for our part. This is important. Mm. What we have a tendency to do is point the finger and blame the other person.
Right.
And a lot of times we'll start off with, you, am I reading your mind at this point?
It sounds very familiar.
Yeah, but it's so easy to do. So for example, I was pretty upset the other night. I wasn't listening. And you might want to say that to the person. Okay, I wasn't listening. I'm too upset. Let me take responsibility for that part. Or maybe I'm feeling really defensive, so that was my part in this problem. Or even, maybe I didn't let you know what I was expecting, or maybe I didn't give you feedback on that. Always in the beginning of a conflict, try to focus on your part of that conflict and take responsibility for that, because you could be defensive or accusing or blaming or self-centered in all of this.
I think a lot of what you're saying about taking responsibility are expectations.
Yeah.
We go into a relationship or even a conversation and our expectations are so far off, that's when we get offended.
And that's why we need to talk. That's why that's so important. But the other side of that is a lot of times we don't take responsibility because we want to blame and it's a pride issue for us. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only leads to arguments. It's right there.
It's a pride issue.
Pride only leads to arguments. Right. This is one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis, where he said, pride is a spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love, contentment, or even common sense. Pride is what stops us a lot of times from taking responsibility of our part. Now, that doesn't mean you're saying that the other person didn't have an issue. And here's another thing. Rick Warren is so wise in this area. He says there are seven words that will change the conversation if you say them. And this is part of taking responsibility. He said those seven words are, I'm sorry, I was only thinking about myself. Oh, isn't that good?
That's tough, yes.
That's a game changer if you say that at some point of conflict.
So we take responsibility and know our part. And then
we have to listen to each other, really listen and try to understand the perspective of the other person. And a lot of times there's this tendency to be thinking about what you want to say and you're really not listening to the person.
Right.
And I love it because God knew this about us and he gave us two ears and one mouth.
And one mouth, right?
Yeah. We had to have double the listening capacity because it's so easy for us to get in the middle of this and be right about this and not listening.
Right. And we've made it this far. We've worked our way through this entire process, but now we need to actually address the issue.
And we have to follow Ephesians 14 in the way we do this. And what that says is speak the truth in love. We have to identify the problem, not criticize the person or blame the person. We need to do it in a way that isn't harsh. And there's all kinds of research that shows if you start with a harsh statement like, you make me so mad or I'm so upset. That's not speaking the truth in love, because Proverbs 15:1 says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Reminding ourselves that there is the power of life and death in the tongue. We can either build up people or we can tear them down.
And then you have to get to the solution.
We do. And the goal isn't to change the other person. And that's the thing I always have to remind people of. We're trying to come up with a solution. Offer a new idea, a new way, try something else. And if you get to the point where you can't even agree, then agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree, right? And then let's go eat ice cream.
Yeah. That always helps.
That's right. Well, this is very good stuff. Don't forget, you can read Dr. Linda's blog on this at myfaithradio.com and follow her on Twitter. When we come back, what does it mean for you to be a peacemaker? More in just a moment.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
You are listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and if you just joined us, we're talking today about a biblical model to deal with conflict. And I hope you've been challenged so far by what you've heard.
I have to make a couple of corrections. We have producers that work with us and people that keep us on track here. It was supposed to be Ephesians 4:15. So if you're looking up that scripture and you're going, where does it say speak the truth in love? I misspoke on that one. And then another thing, we were having a really interesting conversation during the break. We were talking with our producer, and we were talking about that comment that you made, Chris, about what if somebody wants to pray with you and says that this is a high and mighty thing.
Right.
And her point, which was a great point, is that you have to establish a practice of prayer with people that you're doing life together with in the church so that it doesn't come out when I'm going to use this now to my advantage.
That was my point. If you and your spouse never pray together.
Yeah.
And your spouse is angry with you, and then you suggest, well, let's pray.
Yeah, it might come across the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Establish that practice in your relationships whenever. It's good to pray when things are going well and pray together and thank the Lord for things that are good. Let's get back to our world of conflict, and our challenge is to be a bridge builder, not a wall builder. You have the scripture.
Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We are called to this, aren't we, Dr. Linda?
We are. That is a great scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, probably one of the best known of Jesus' teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, where he sat on a mountainside and he taught the crowds. And he tells us in that sermon that we're blessed when we are a peacemaker. What does it mean to have peace? First, we have to be at peace with God. That's really important. Romans 5:1 tells us that. And then be at peace with each other. Peacemakers do not avoid conflict. And I think there's where we get a little confused in the church. Sometimes people will say, oh, I'm just going to be a peacemaker. I'm not going to address this. I'm not going to talk about it. In fact, you have to try to do what you're going to do to reconcile. You have to address issues if you're going to be a peacemaker. Otherwise, you're not making peace, right?
Right.
We can disagree with people without being disagreeable. So much of conflict is problematic, Chris, because we don't go about it the way that we've been discussing. Mm-hmm. That's really the key.
1 Peter 3:7 talks about husbands and wives treating each other with love and respect so that unresolved conflict doesn't block our prayer.
It's a very interesting scripture, and I had never paid attention to that part of this scripture. I don't know if you've looked at that, but it's that scripture that people like to quote, that whole passage about how husbands and wives are supposed to treat each other.
Right.
And then there's this little phrase in there so that it doesn't block our prayers if we don't deal with the conflicts and the problems in our lives. We don't treat each other right, which I'd never seen that. It's being right with God and then not being wrong with each other. Mm. This is one of those things. And so it opens us up when we become a peacemaker and we go to that person and we try to resolve that conflict.
Not only prayers that are blocked, if you will, but James 3:18 indicates that unresolved conflict could also block happiness.
I know. And happiness isn't something that you think about a whole lot in Scripture because it's really not the goal of a Christian life to be happy. It's our goal to imitate Christ, to give glory to God, to serve Him the best we can, to work on the way we are with each other. There isn't a whole lot in Scripture that talks about our happiness. There's a lot of talk about peace and contentment, and having God's presence with us and being with us through suffering. But this is an interesting scripture that talks about unresolved conflicts get in the way of that happiness. So on a day-to-day basis, if we're walking around and we're holding on to anger and unforgiveness. What does that do to us?
If you simply can't get along with your spouse, how many parts of your life are blocked? That's sort of the word we've been using here. You can't fellowship with your friends. You can't fellowship in church. It affects everything.
And I think it goes the other way, too. I think if you have a really awful conflict with a friend, doesn't it come home with you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Or at work. The same thing.
Or at work. Same thing. The whole idea is Peacemakers are people who sow in peace. So they're committed to this. They're saying we're going to reap a harvest of righteousness, according to what Scripture says. We're going to plant seeds of peace. We're going to do this biblical model. We're going to go through this. We're going to try to be reconciled to one another. And then what Scripture says is we'll reap a harvest of goodness.
What's interesting about the word peacemaker? To me, it sounds like you're a little bit passive, maybe a little bit afraid, but based on what you've been saying, in order to be a peacemaker, you have to have the gumption to go to the person and face them face to face and say, we need to talk.
That's the whole counsel of God. That's looking at the whole picture where God is giving us lots of instructions, how we talk to each other, what we do with our anger, how we control our tongue, how we are to listen to one another, be slow to anger, listening, not always talking. All of these things are in the Bible. I would really encourage you to look through Scripture if you're wondering if this is the way to do it. If you don't know Christ, it's a little bit harder because you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to help you through this. And it's really easy in our culture to be into retaliation and getting back at people and even bullying people. But if you do know Christ, then think about those that you have broken relationships with due to conflict. Can you work on restoring that relationship or those relationships? What's that going to take? What is it going to take for you to go to somebody and to reconcile? And then if somebody is unwilling to do that, you can't always make that happen. I think that's really frustrating for us. But you've at least tried. You've gone to that person. You've tried. If you are the one holding out, if you're unwilling to forgive or holding on to offense, today could be your day to release all of that and pursue a reconciliation. Chris and I are praying that you're listening to the show and you're making that choice. Let me leave you with a prayer from Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation, and thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation.
Dr. Linda, don't forget this is Caleb's last program.
Oh, it is. We need to say goodbye to him. So we really want to thank Caleb Carpenter, who's been engineering our show for a number of months, may even be years, I don't even know. So goodbye, Caleb. Thank you. Big thanks on the air. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we are doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.